Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to our combined analyst and press call regarding the signing of the merger agreement between Siemens Wind Power and Gamesa. The press release was published earlier today. You can download all files, including the presentation, from our website. This call is also being webcast via the IR and press website. Our President and CEO, Joe Kaeser, our CFO, Ralf Thomas, and Lisa Davis, member of the management board, are in this call to review the announcement with you. Joe will start with a brief presentation, and then we have time for Q&A with Joe, Ralf, and Lisa. We will answer questions from analysts as well as from journalists. Please note, this call is held in English. A simultaneous German translation is available in a listen-only mode. And with that, I would like to hand over to Joe.
Thank you, Sabine. Good afternoon, everyone from Frankfurt. And thank you for joining us today to this transformative transaction for the wind power industry. Some of you might have already listened to Gamesa, but you heard a lot of things already. The signing of a merger agreement in Gamesa is a decisive milestone to scale up and execute our growth strategy as part of our Vision 2020. Together with Gamesa, we will create a leading global wind player with a 59% Siemens ownership and in the merged entity. The combined entity is a perfect fit regarding our strategic imperatives of Siemens Vision 2020. First, wind power fits well into one of the most relevant growth trends, electrification, which is the basis for our vertical system of electrification, automation, and digitalization. Although the overall midterm growth perspective for the wind industry until 2020 is somewhat modest, there is a very attractive area and a lot of pockets of regional growth that the combined entity is well positioned to benefit from. Double-digit growth rates in the offshore and mid to high single-digit growth rates in emerging markets for onshore are quite attractive. Professional services for a nearly 70 gigawatt installed base will add to the best-in-class growth profile among wind turbine manufacturers. Second, the merger creates an attractive business as both companies are already on a clear positive margin trajectory through operational excellence. We plan to achieve industry-leading costs by a synergies driven by sharing best practices and complementary product lines in the new business units. Furthermore, we leverage the installed base with an unparalleled service footprint, comprehensive offerings for mechanical and aerodynamic retrofits, and industry-leading innovation for digital service models to help our customers get the cost down for renewable energy. Third, why Siemens? We are not only committed to further grow the wind business, which we successfully started in 2004 with the acquisition of Bonus Energy. We also believe sustainable energy matters. Matters to Siemens and matters to the whole world. Also, Siemens will be the strategic partner and supplier continuing to deliver key components such as gearboxes, segments, generators, switch gears, and converters to the combined company. Furthermore, Siemens Financial Services will be the preferred financing partner. A continued strong cooperation in account management and sales will provide ample cross-divisional business opportunities. Fourth, is there any synergetic value? Yes, absolutely. The transaction offers a significant synergy potential of around 230 million euros as a run rate in year four post-closing. Thereof, about 70% cost synergies are all across the functions. We plan to reach about 50% of the synergies in year two post-closing. The total synergies account for a net present value of around 1.7 billion euros. This provides an attractive value creation potential for the shareholders of the combined company. Fifth and finally, The paradigm shift towards sustainable power generation is ongoing. Wind power is a key driver to achieve renewable targets in emerging countries and execute the coal phase-out in Europe. The ambition to significantly reduce the carbon footprint as agreed during the climate conference in Paris has provided further momentum for future resilient growth. Supporting legislation such as the United States Production Tax Credit extension is also in place and offers significant areas of growth. Now, let me share further details on pro forma financials and the new setup of the combined company. With an installed base of 69 gigawatts and over 20 billion euros in backlog, with a contribution of more than 70% by Siemens Wind Power, the combined company will be uniquely positioned for future growth, profit conversion, and customer value creation. Combined company has a pro forma revenues of more than 9 billion euros and a combined adjusted EBIT margin of about 9% on the last 12-month base as of March 2016. Siemens Wind Power contributes 5.5 billion euros and 492 million euros on adjusted EBIT, respectively, both around a 60% share of the combined entity. Siemens Wind Power has made significant progress in optimizing operational excellence, as demonstrated in our recent Q2 financial results. The adjustments include normalization effects from one-off supply-related charges, such as inspecting and replacing main bearings in fiscal 2015. As already mentioned, we have implemented clear measures to fix those issues, and we are well underway. So the timing is right for growth and expansion. Furthermore, standalone profit is adjusted for corporate cost currently charged to wind power, which will no longer be incurred in a standalone setting. Such standalone savings include adaption of IT service costs and other support function costs to a leaner setup, as well as complete transfer of ownership in production sites owned by Siemens Real Estate. The calculation is displayed on pages 12 and 13 in the appendix of the presentation. Siemens will own 59% of the combined entity, with Iberdrola staying on as a shareholder with approximately 8%. Around one-third of the shares will be free float. The company will remain listed in the Spanish Stock Exchange and has its global headquarters in Spain. The onshore headquarters will also be located in Spain, while the offshore business is headquartered in Hamburg, Germany, and Vejle in Denmark. Our ownership stake and the board representation will enable us to fully consolidate the combined entity into our accounts. Siemens nominates the chairman of the board as well as the CEO. Additionally, Gamesa and Areva have, in alignment with Siemens, entered into a contractual agreement whereby Gamesa grants Areva a put option for Areva's 50% stake and a call option for Gamesa's 50% stake in their offshore wind venture Advent. Both options expire in 3 months. Within this time frame, Areva can divest 100% of Advent to a third party via a drag-along right for Gamesa's stake. So now everyone is free to take chances. Now, let's have a quick look at the deal structure. Siemens will merge its wind power business with Gamesa, including a cash payment of approximately 1 billion euros or 375 euros per share, which will be funded by Siemens. This amount will be paid out to the existing shareholders of Gamesa shortly after closing. Next steps and closing conditions are the approval by the Gamesa shareholders on the adoption of the merger agreement with Siemens and the usual closing conditions, such as several regulatory approvals. Closing is expected to take place in the first quarter of calendar year 2017. The combination of those two businesses is truly, very truly, complementary with very little overlap, offering great value to customers and shareholders. Camesa has a very strong onshore business in emerging markets such as India, Latin America, and China, where Siemens Wind Power has not had a meaningful presence so far. On the other hand, Siemens Wind has built a strong presence in the United States, Canada, and selective European onshore markets, and obviously a very good offshore franchise. The combination of those two provides great global coverage, benefiting our customers with global operations. Also, since these different markets have very distinct requirements, for example, regarding turbine designs and cost structures, the product portfolio matches very well, and obviously also associates a lot of synergy potential in that space. Our customers will benefit from this merger in several ways. The combined company will be the global wind partner with a strong presence in all important regions and a broad manufacturing footprint all across the continent. Furthermore, we will provide access to the most comprehensive product offering covering all wind classes and addressing all key market segments, designed and developed by two of the technology leaders in the industry. And last but not least, and this is important to us and should be important to everyone associated with the business, the new company will also have one of the widest service networks in the industry. Customers can be rest assured that providing the highest quality products and the most responsive service with innovative digital offering remain our top priority. So let me summarize. In a nutshell, the Siemens-Camesa combination is the best possible strategic fit in the wind power industry with complementary strength, limited overlap, and compelling customer benefits. Second, it will better serve our customers all across the globe and will significantly enhance the opportunities to boost sustainable energy generation in a more cost-effective and reliable way, becoming also an innovation leader in the industry. With this business combination, Siemens will add another powerful element for a global reduction of CO2 emission above and beyond the current efforts. For example, through electrifying and automating the oil and gas industry, contributing to efficient transmission and distribution by digital grid application, as well as providing energy efficiency through building technologies and all electrical mobility systems instead of a dirty diesel locomotive. And finally, it will provide significant value creation potential for both Siemens and Camesa shareholders, as well as to our customers, our employees, and the society. With that, ladies and gentlemen, Lisa, Ralph, and I are happy to take your questions, and I return the mic to Sabine. Thank you.
Operator, we would like to open up for questions now. As we have a combined analyst and press conference call, we will take questions from analysts and journalists alternately. Please raise your question in English.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will start today's question and answer session. If you wish to ask a question, please press the star or asterisk key followed by the digit 1 on your telephone keypad. Again, ladies and gentlemen, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. And our first question comes from the line of Ben Uglow of Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead.
Oh, brilliant. Thank you. Good afternoon, Joe. Good afternoon, Lisa and Sabine. A couple of questions. So first of all, Joe, can you talk a little bit just about the decision around the structure? The impression you have is that this has been sort of carved into two companies, where the offshore business is coming from Germany and the onshore business is coming from Spain. I'm sure that's not the correct impression, but it is one that you might get. Can you tell us why you've decided to concentrate the offshore exclusively in Germany and how that's all going to work going forward? So that was question number one. Question number two is just around the indemnifications on the Gamesa call, I understand that there's a $250 million funded provision that relates to the issues that were the quality issues in 2014 and 15. But separately, I believe, I may have been wrong, but in the presentation they talk about an additional $250 million indemnification. And my question is, under what circumstances might that be triggered?
Okay, that was it, Ben?
Yes, that's it, Joe.
Okay. All right, then, hi, Ben. Before Ralph answers the question on the provision topic, I'd like to come back on the more managerial strategic topic. I mean, look, the decision about the whole structure of the deal has been made following our view that this is the best possible combination, which creates value to customers, shareholders, as well as to our employees. Obviously, there is a lot of data out there. So the reason why we've been setting up the global headquarters in Spain is that we also want to have this company remain on the stock exchange. Mm-hmm. And so there is, you know, it's been all about continuity. And the fact of the matter is that on offshore, Siemens has been obviously, you know, the market leader with a lot of experience in the space. But there is no meaning, you know, to change the headquarters of that division to someplace else. The same is true on onshore. Obviously, Chamisa, you know, has got quite a footprint on onshore and a well-functioning team on that one. So why, you know, change things now? But the most important topic I want to go to is actually that this is going to be one company. So it is not about something out of Spain or something out of Denmark or something out of someplace else. This is one strong company, a global market leader, combining the strength, you know, of two enterprises by eliminating the weaknesses, vice versa. And so that's you know, that's been the leading thought on this one. So one company with two divisions, one offshore, one onshore. And this is how we go to the market, and that's, I think it's very compelling. Ralph, please, maybe on the provision side.
Yes, Ben, thank you for the question. This is Ralph speaking, and as you rightly have been saying, there is an agreement that $250 million of provisions will be transferred at closing. For topics you are well aware of, I mean, you heard us talking about quality and industrial supply chain management issues that we have been reporting mainly last fiscal year on around the blades, the main bearings, and also elements of the generator segments that have been causing challenges in the past. We have been accruing for them, of course, and we also have been putting measures in place that are very well underway. So the corrective actions from today's perspective will be absolutely sufficient to not need those $250 million at the end of the day, maybe, but the $250 is our qualified estimate as per today's point of view. That's why that is taken into consideration for being transferred also in funds. On top of that, of course, and due to the nature of a very limited due diligence that was possible due to legal reasons, vice versa, on both sides, we understood that Gamesa wanted to also make sure that in case these corrective actions about we have been reporting that they are well on their way, and from today's perspective, as I said, is not giving us any reason to not believe $250 million would be sufficient. Just in case that would be overrun in total, then this would be the trigger for an extra indemnity up to another $250. That's the rationale behind it. So we are absolutely comfortable with that amount being an additional indemnification because we do not expect that to be needed once closing is going to be reached.
Okay, that's very clear, Ralph. One just quick follow-up. I'm correct to assume, though, that the there's no cash contribution. $250 million is not being cash contributed separately to the $1.05 billion.
True. So the one point, I mean, talking cash, maybe I may elaborate on that a bit more in broad. I mean, there's actually four different elements that need to be kept apart. I mean, one being the extraordinary merger dividend, €3.75 per Gamesa share, which equals 1 billion roughly, as Joe has been elaborating on. Then there will be that funding of that provision, which will be also transferred at closing, then whatever the right amount is going to be at that point in time. On top of that, we will have just customary working capital adjustments, as you would know them from any other deal of that kind. And then we also need to take into consideration at closing what the net cash position is going to be from Gamesa's end. Since we cannot anticipate that as per today, that, of course, will be left open till we finally close.
Okay, that's great. Thank you very much indeed.
Thank you. Thank you.
And our next question comes from the line of Axel Hoppner of Handelsblatt.
Good afternoon, everybody. Three short questions. You were talking about cost synergies. What does it mean for the jobs in Spain, Denmark, and Germany? The second question, Siemens has 59%. Is this a long-term structure, or do you want to increase or decrease it later to a strategic hurdle? And last question, how will the management team look like? Who will be the CEO and the other leaders? Thanks.
Thank you, Axel. I mean, first of all, the cost synergies are obviously, you know, very compelling, and Lisa can kind of elaborate a bit on what they are in the first place. But thinking about R&Ds, we've been done twice so far, which might be only been done once to invest into more innovation. But so this is not so much about jobs. This is about, that there were two companies which were both, very active on onshore. Gamesa already been, really strong onshore. Siemens investing a lot into R&D in catching up. If you compete for an onshore business, you need to build a blade factory. Both of them, So what we do today now, so we only do R&D for the next generation onshore wind once and not twice. So that's why, you get a lot of synergies out of doing things only once and not in parallel. I'll give it on to Lisa later to be, a bit more precise also where the real synergies are, factually. Then, we just announced that we will, merge the two companies with the control and the consolidation, the full consolidation to Siemens. We believe it's a great start. We are very enthusiastic about it. I think we've been finding the perfect match in that industry. And now we make this work first, and then we'll take it from there. Management team, we have two very, very strong organizations. One really, really being the world champion in offshore, the other one being, a similar leader in onshore. Both management teams have achieved a lot, about Gamesa creating a lot of value. If I look at the management team in Siemens offshore with Markus Tacke in the lead, he's been, honestly, to be really frank, he's been cleaning up quite a mess in that industry, and so he's been forming a very strong organization, which is also strong in growth and profitability. So we have the luxury that we will be able to have two great organizations. We'll be taking the time from basically now till closing to take best people for the job and, combine two strong organizations already into one world-class operation. So that's how we move forward. We take our time, and best people for the job will be selected. Obviously, of course, also since this is a huge organization and there's a lot to do on integration, continuity will matter when we make selections also. Maybe Lisa, I can turn it over to you in terms of giving a bit more meat on the synergy.
Yeah, thank you, Joe. I'm happy to. Joe mentioned, our total synergy number is 230 million euros at run rate. 70% of that is cost, and about 30% of those synergies are revenue synergies. To the specific question on cost synergies, we really look for synergies broadly across the business in R&D, in supply chain, logistics, purchasing, SG&A, sales, general management, et cetera. So a broad opportunity for cost synergy reduction or cost reduction. And if you think about it, just for example, as we look to converge or take advantage of opportunities around the platform and simplifying the products, the product slate we have, we'll be able to take cost out. On the revenue side, the synergies on the revenue side are in two specific areas. One is really around the potential for cross-selling, so being able to use, for example, the competitiveness of Gamesa's 2-megawatt platform to improve the market position in some of our Siemens strongholds, like North America, for example, or vice versa, being able to use the Siemens 3-megawatt platform in some of the strongholds of Gamesa, like Latin America, India, and China. So that's one key area of revenue synergies, and then the second one is additional service revenue out of a much broader installed base now. And that's what sums to the 30% of revenue synergies in general. Back to you, Joe, or Sabina.
Thank you.
Next question, please.
Our next question comes from the line of Andreas Willi of JP Morgan. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon, everybody. My first question relates to the cost adjustment, the 114 million that will not go as part of the business. I'm just a bit surprised about the level of that number on top of normal corporate expense. Normally when a company gets carved out, costs increase as it becomes standalone and loses synergies with a bigger company. Is this almost like a negative synergy of being part of the Siemens group? And the second question I have is on backlog contribution. Siemens contributes a larger share of the backlog, given the very strong offshore business there, and a roughly 15 billion backlog contribution. What's the associated prepayments with that go with the business? And will this be funded in terms of an equivalent cash payment into the new company or not, given that as these projects ramp up, they probably then consume some working capital? And the third question I have is on the component supply from Siemens, from gearboxes or generators to Gamesa. What's the agreement there in terms of mandatory use versus just open arm's length relationship between Gamesa and these component supply units? Thank you.
Yeah, hi, Andreas. Before I hand it over to Ralph on the first two topics, let me maybe comment on the component supply. As I mentioned in my introductory remarks, we do have an agreement about, you know, a preferred supplier and supply-partner relationship with the NewCo on all components associated with Siemens. Now, is that going to be enforceable? Well, look, I mean, if someone else can provide better services, then, of course, there is, you know, there's an arm's length status here. There's no doubt about this one. On the other hand side, you know, it's still the proximity of the companies will make sure that Siemens is able to provide the best product and components to the new co. So it is it's a supply agreement, but it's not mandatory at any case. So the arm's length principle prevails as the first priority. Ralph, maybe you can do the first turn.
Yeah, of course. Andrea, thank you for the question. Of course, we gave it a lot of thought. That 140 million standalone adjustment, of course, is a huge amount of money, and we are fully aware of the fact that this is something that needs to be taken care of from day one onwards. I already have been kind of indicating before that due to the fact that we have only had the opportunity to look into our part in detail. Of course, that one was very much on the focus, in the focus when we discussed internally and have been also kind of considering different ways how to address that. So, but still bear in mind that typical structure when you acquire would not necessarily deliver a fully fledged and up and running infrastructure as we found, as we will find that at Gamesa. So we will be able to really not need any further corporate headquarter function contributions into that direction once the transaction is going to be closed. We should also not underestimate the fact that, I mean, we have been tailoring a lot of the, take IT services or also supply chain activities in a way that it is optimized on Siemens in total level, also allowing, of course, taking scale and scope into consideration. And we do have now an opportunity to really eliminate anything else that is not really dedicated and tailor-made for the needs of that wind champion we are going to create in that regard. There's also quite an impressive impact that we will see from the fact that we will also transfer all real estate items to joint venture to be. And so from that perspective, there are certain areas which do have quite an untypical impact in magnitude on that one. But what you should also be aware of, I mean, we have been talking a lot about the new support function setup we have been creating, also substantially contributing to the 1 billion of savings that we have been addressing under 1x16. And bundling activities in that way is also giving us now more opportunities to flexibly respond to needs also when the demand, so to speak, from internal customers is going down. So in a nutshell, our cost structure is also more flexible, even though we also, of course, will make use of the time that we now have anticipating what impact that is going to create once upon the deal is going to be closed. So from today's perspective, we are quite confident that we didn't overestimate that potential, but will make use of all that what we brought into place also throughout the last 2 years in flexibly responding to internal demand when it comes to support functions for business activities as they are carved out or carved in both ways. And the other part of your question around the prepayments, of course, this is hard to tell from today's perspective what the exact amount is going to be that will then refer to the then backlog existing once the closing has been done. But of course, that is also being part of the net operating working capital adjustment once we get there. We will be very transparent and also clear on that once we have been reaching, we will have been reaching that point in time.
Thank you. Maybe on the 114, are these initially stranded costs within Siemens that they need to be worked out?
We are, of course, aware of the fact that there may be maybe also considerations then to adjust capacities in terms of these support function activities, but since that's what I tried to indicate, since we also have been streamlining our organization throughout the last 2 years in a way that we have been really focusing on relevant services being provided and also the governance, as you do know, we have been putting ourselves under a regime on top of 1x16 that requests 3-5% cost productivity on the total cost base of the company. And that, of course, will also have to absorb some short-term timing difference if need be, but we are fully aware of the fact that there may be timing differences in between. That's why it is so important that we are tailoring now the future supply capacity in that area to the future demand, and that's why visibility was very important for us. And since you may imagine that this is not coming all as a surprise to us now, we are already well on our way in that regard.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome, Andreas.
Thank you. And our next question comes from the line of Michael Blermig of Boisen Zeitung.
Yes, that's right. Thank you. Good afternoon, everybody. Two short questions, please. And why did Siemens decide to merge wind power with Gamesa instead of buying it? And the second one, will Gamesa in 10 years still be a public company? Thanks.
Hi, Michael. The first question, why merge? Because maybe there are more intelligent ways than just spend cash to create leading enterprises in the industry. And the second topic is, ask us again in 9 years from now. So, to be serious about it, what we wanted to achieve is, to create a real strong champion in that industry, offering a lot of benefits for both shareholders as well as the customers. And this is what we do. And we believe there's nothing wrong with businesses going it on their own if it fits the strategic purpose. And that's exactly what they're trying to achieve. And it's good to be in the public marketplace as a very specialized, very focused business. And so therefore, we believe it's a good thing to continue exactly where Gamesa has been, leading the way in creating value, and that's what we continue with the combined entity. So that's the primary purpose. Whether in 5 or 10 or 15 years from now, the formal thing will be the same or different at this point in time, it's just not a real priority.
Okay, thank you.
Sure.
And our next question comes from the line of Martin Wilkie of Citi. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon. It's Martin from Citi. Just a question on the company overall and the restructuring you're doing. You've talked in the past about having $14 billion of revenue in underperforming businesses across the group. You've given us some of what's in that $14 billion, but not all of it. I just wanted to clarify if either all or part of the wind business was included in that $14 billion, and therefore this transaction is essentially solving some of that calculation, or is that still a separate process? Thank you.
Ralph, is there something you want to try?
Of course. First of all, we said that we would not unveil the portfolio of so-called underperforming businesses due to the fact that we did not want to put any harm to our value proposition in that regard, and we will continue following up on that policy. But of course, there were elements in which we could have done significantly better in parts of the wind portfolio. Joe has been elaborating on that a little bit. If you look back to the dynamics of our performance and the literal change from quarter to quarter, that has been balancing out quite nicely throughout the last four quarters. That has been taking, if you will, a problem child off that ground where it looked like it could be a severe case. But generally speaking, and that was the second part of your question, I guess, there will be a continuing regime on committing ourselves and the management teams of those assets that have not been doing well enough to compete to peer and best and class in their relevant fields. So from that perspective, there will be nothing that is going to change. And if parts of the wind portfolio would have been in that area, they definitely would get the same kind of attention and levels of attention as they have been given in the past till the very day of closing the transaction. If that would have been the case, no change on the way to get there. And we are committed to deliver on continuous improvement in that part of our portfolio. And as we have been reporting back to you with the second quarter's disclosure, we are well on our way, and we still have the same view on it. After turning it around into the black from a profitability perspective last fiscal, we are heading for a substantial improvement current fiscal year. We gave you the indication that we are striving for 3% return on sales, and therefore this transaction will not have any impact in terms of doing less or having less effort and attention being given to that important part of our portfolio and onto our areas of improvement.
Yeah, thanks, Ralph. I think that's the point, Martin. We did not do the merger because of solving a hypothetically underperforming business. Because if you look at the performance of the last few quarters, and I would be disappointed if the current quarter would show a different trend. This would have been solved already standalone. So I think the strategic rationale, the compelling argument to create an install base of 70 gigawatt to help our customers drive down the service cost. This is actually the compelling argument, and this is very much in the focus.
Okay, thank you.
Sure.
Good.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Rüdiger Kein of Frankfurter Allgemeine Zeitung. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon. Just one simple question. Is there already any name for the new company? Will it be Siemens Gamesa, or are you looking for a new name? And then another question, are there any minority or special voting rights on the Spanish side, if possible? And what is the reason for these endless negotiations we face since beginning this year? Is it just the price and the valuation? Is it the problem with Areva? Is it the different culture between Spanish people and the German management? And the last one, how long will it take to get the integration realized? Will it be 4 years, as you hinted, or will it take longer or not such a long time? We have to keep in mind that you have a very complicated structure with three operating headquarters. I don't have the fantasy to imagine that it will take just 1 or 2 years.
Hi, Rüdiger. So on the new name, haven't made a final decision yet on this one. Obviously, as you know, we have not been very lucky recently on creating new names. So chances are that we keep, the current two strong brand names on this one, and how it's going to be combined. This is something we are going to figure out over time. Minority rights, maybe Lisa or Ralph comment on it later. Third topic, I'm not sure about what has been endless negotiations. We just believe we, want to take enough time to get it right. And there's been some complexity, admittedly, with the offshore joint venture between Gamesa and Areva. We sorted it out. It was important because we wanted to create, together with Gamesa, I wanted to create an offering to Areva, which we believe is exactly right-sized, and make it open to third parties who, if they desire to jump into, might deserve it. So we just took our time to get everything right. We discussed the bits and pieces and make sure, that this is something which has all the ingredients going forward to get to become a value creating merger. I think the equation that there's going to be cultural differences. This is a global company. We've had operations in Spain. Gamesa has operations in Germany. These are people working together. So it's not about any cultural matters. On the contrary, I look back now, how the negotiations went between Gamesa and Siemens and Iberdrola, Iberdrola and Gamesa, as far as I know, obviously, just watching. It's been a very, very fruitful, critical, but very constructive discussion. I really like what I see from the management team of all those players. On integration, it's actually not that complicated. Because there's one headquarter which is in Spain, it's there already. There is one headquarter for onshore which is in Spain, it's there already. There is one headquarter for offshore in Germany. It just happens to have two cities, so what? As you know, Siemens also is in Berlin and Munich. So it's very clear where the priorities are. It's very clear where the accountability is So I'm actually very enthusiastic about that it's going to go very quickly. On the other hand side, of course, we also need to take into consideration there are certain technologies for certain projects. So we can only change certain technologies if the projects which we have committed to our customers are being done. And then for the next bit, we could do a combined technology, for example, for low wind technologies on onshore. So we take our time, but the complexity of integration is actually rather little.
So Rüdiger, if I may take the part of the question referring to the minority rights, I mean, if you think about minority rights in the meaning of being entitled to special dividends or special voting rights, no, there's no structure that would cater for those features. Of course, we do have a shareholder agreement in place with Iberdrola, as we said, and that would, of course, constitute certain rights, for example, with regard to making proposals for appointing directors and members of the board and so on. But I wouldn't that consider a minority right in the meaning of the word, and you may understand that we will not disclose the shareholder agreement terms in regard to who is doing what at which point in time, but minority rights in legal terms of being entitled to certain entitlements with regard to the shareholding when it comes to commercial terms or voting rights, answer is no.
Thank you.
As a matter of fact, actually, you know, the shareholder agreement is being shared with the public as a regulatory requirement, so there is nothing to hide. It's important that we also act in the best interest of all shareholders, the current Gamesa ones, the Siemens ones. All what we want to do is we've got to build, you know, a great company out of already two very good companies. That's what we are up to.
Thank you very much.
Operator, we will take the last question now, please.
And our last question comes from the line of Simon Donison of Berenberg. Please go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon, Joe, Ralph, Lisa, and Sabine. My first question is a bit more broader. How important was it for you to be an early consolidator in this industry, I guess, after years of industrialization? And I'm asking also related to the timing ahead of certain regulatory changes that we're seeing, for example, in Germany coming up, a lot of people talking about Chinese competition potentially entering the Western markets at some point. So just on that firstly, please. Secondly, on the Advent JV, could you just talk a bit more around the different options for this JV? How do you view those? So in case of a put option exercise by Areva, how do you view this scenario? And then the last one is on the synergy potential of the business. We talked about the revenue and cost synergies. We didn't talk about any integration costs that might come with it. Is it just too early to talk about those? Thanks a lot.
Okay, sure. First of all, on the timing, we put a great deal of thought into who would be the best fit in the industry, you know, merging together. And it became reasonably clear that this is by far the best fit. So we gave it a try before we moved to the second best option. And the best option was clearly this one. And that's also why we believe it's so compelling in that space. In terms of timing, we just thought this is honestly a perfect timing because there's new generations coming up on the onshore area like the low wind technologies. There is also a massive interest in countries now like China on offshore. I was just happened to be in China last weekend and Monday, Tuesday. Massive offshore opportunities, which obviously you know everyone looks to Siemens. Thirdly, after 2 years of maybe even more, but certainly the last 2 years. Of constant struggle to get the operational challenges right in the Siemens part, we are now having changed the trend. We know, you know, we've got our manufacturing supply chain well in order. We fixed our issues, you know, which we are mostly associated to growth, rapid growth. So now, you know, if you if your restructuring is done for the most part, if your supply chain is in order, for the most part, this is a perfect timing to look after growth and, you know, go from defense to offense. So that's actually what we believe was very good in terms of timing. Secondly, on the Advent joint venture, there was obviously, you know, a certain contractual agreement between Gamesa and Areva, and that needed to be sorted out well. We took a lot of time working together with all the potential customers for the offshore projects in France to understand what is doable, what's possible, where the risks are, you know, where the benefits could be. Did a very, very thorough risk evaluation on the so-called legacy projects, which obviously have their challenges. And then we came to the conclusion that the offer we put together jointly to Areva was exactly the right one, and it was a good one. And it should be compelling. And if, you know, if this is now out for everyone to look at and maybe come up with a better idea. And all I can say is, you know, if we get the 50% into the new company, we'll be fine. We'll work it. There's good opportunities. And if we don't, then I only can say, you know, if someone puts a better offer there, they definitely deserve it.
Yeah, and Simon, with regard to integration costs and what will it take, of course, you are right, it's too early to assess in detail. But just to give you a bit of a gut feeling, if you include the cost for implementation of the synergies we have been discussing already, at that stage, I would expect that we stay slightly below the annual steady state run rate of those synergies then. So assuming that we will be able to do all that throughout the first 2 years after closing, that would be a fair assumption for modeling at the moment in your models.
Perfect. Thanks a lot.
Okay.
Maybe we do one last question from the friends from the media, because I don't want to have a result, you know, which is one less on that side. Everyone, you know, since we are playing soccer championships, so everyone should be treated fairly. One last on the media, maybe? No?
Okay, then, or is there another question in the line?
One more from the...
We have a question from Manager Magazine. Angela Meyer, please go ahead, your line is open.
Good afternoon, thank you very much. I have three short questions. One on the transaction structure. I'm just wondering why you did offer a cash payment, because if I look at the valuations, you would have a controlling stake anyway. If I calculate this, it would be 55% Siemens without the cash payment. So why do you offer cash payment? Second question about the Spanish regulator. So how sure can you be that he really is agreeing that you don't need to make a mandatory takeover bid? And third question on the management structure. On the Gamesa call, Ignacio Martin said that he will lead the combined company. So is this correct, and will Markus Tacke be part of the management board in the future? Thank you.
Thank you, Angela. I'm not sure whether I got the 50% math right, but maybe that's something you can take up with Ralph later, because I'm just about to leave here in St. Petersburg, but Ralph, maybe you can look into that. How sure can we be that the Spanish regulator supported? Well, look, we've done everything possible to diligently evaluate our deal, and we have actually reason to believe that this will be fine. But again, the regulator has the last word. But as we said, we've been, you know, very forthcoming, very, very cooperative to get it right. So we are optimistic that it will be doable. On the management structure, I said that already. You know, we look at the best teams, and when Ignacio Martin said, is leading the combined company. That's a good thing. If there's the aspiration, but at this point in time, we need to have someone, you know, to carry it through. And especially Ignacio has a very great track record building this company together with his management team. It's good to have talent and options. What I'm saying is we focus now on getting the merger right to build this, you know, desirable entity, and then we'll take it from there. So with that, I would actually need to leave. But Ralph, could you maybe take on this 55%?
I will.
Understood the question. Yeah. Thanks, Sandra.
From my, with regard to why Siemens paying cash and not taking just a different ratio or portion in the overall shareholding, I think there would be many different ways how to structure that, and you could easily find by far more than one alternative. But let me try to give you the picture of how we look upon that deal and how hopefully also the market after our session here is looking upon it. I mean, this is a very attractive and really value accretive transaction for Siemens and from Siemens' perspective, and similarly from a Gamesa shareholder's perspective, especially in the light of the substantial synergy upside that we have been discussing intensively. So Siemens is getting the majority of the board seats, and the payment of the cash consideration in the form of an extraordinary merger dividend needs to be seen also in the context of that majority of board seats. I think that's a fair way to also express our appreciation of the deal being structured that way, and that's why we agreed upon a cash consideration in the magnitude of 375 per Gamesa shareholder at the moment.
Thank you.
Okay. You're welcome.
Ladies and gentlemen, Sabine, that will conclude today's question and answer session. I would now like to hand the meeting back to Sabine Reichel.
Thanks a lot, everyone, for participating today on short notice. And as always, the IR team as well as the press team will be available for the remaining questions. Thank you and goodbye.